Last week we left off in Maseches Sota, Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa says that there are three halachas in the Torah, three mitzvahs where you have to mix two things together. Three mitzvahs where it depends on visibility. What are the three mitzvahs? Shlosh Tzrichim Sheirov. One is Afar Sota. The kohen who deals with the woman who's a soita has to go into the mishkan. He has to take ofam mikarka hamishkan. He has to take some sand and mix it into the cup of water, and she has to drink it. So the offer, how much offer? Two specks of offer. So the brisa says he has to take enough that it should be visible. You should see that the water has offer in it. Efa paraduma. When you burn a paraduma, then you take the ashes, you have to mix a little bit of the ashes with a big bottle of water, and then that whole bottle of water can be used to do hazor shlishi shvi. If someone became a tamei meis, anybody else becomes a tamei, so he goes to the mikveh, becomes tahor. A tamei meis has to first have hazor shlishi shvi. You have to wait at least till the third day. You can wait 25 years also, but you have to wait a minimum. Let's say the person went to a funeral on Sunday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so Tuesday is hazor shlishi. It's not smart to do the Hazor on Tuesday because you can't do Hazor Shvi. You can't do the Hazor on Shabbos. So if a person went to a funeral, and then if you have Tuesday and Sunday, that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raiva, two girsus in the Gemara, whether that's acceptable or not. Is it just you have to have a minimum of 4 days between the third day and the seventh day? Or that's it, 4 days. If you have 5 days, then it's no good. And the Hazor on Sunday is going to count as the Hazor Shlishi. You have to start all over again. So in such a situation, with a person that attended a funeral on Sunday, wouldn't make sense that you should have the first Hazor on Tuesday, because then you'll be a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raavad, whether you can do the second Hazor on Sunday. So it's better to start on Wednesday. It's a minimum of 3 days. You wait till the fourth day. So you do Wednesday and Sunday. That'll be the Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So they have all over Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have big containers of water with a little bit of Efa Paraduma mixed in. So how much? Let's say you have a gigantic cantina, gigantic bottle of water, and two specks of ashes from the Paraduma. So the Tosefta says that's not enough. You have to have enough Efa Para mixed into the bottle of water that it should be visible, should be noticeable that there's a little bit of ashes in here. And the third thing is Rokai Vama. The Rokai Vama, not mixing two things together, just when Yivama finishes the whole chalitza, so the mitzvah b'shleimus says that she doesn't spit at him, she spits on the floor in front of the brother-in-law, and she says the pasuk kachi asalisha shali yivnes
beisachit. Can you make a big batch of the eifer akvar and then pour off into individual containers, or each container has to be done separately?
No, that's how they always did it. They burnt the paraduma, then they had tons of ashes, and then they would save the ashes in a bottle. And then when you fill up the whole bottle full of water, so you pour a little bit of ashes in here.
Each bottle must be made individually, you don't
miss. Yeah, yeah. Each bottle you pour in a little bit of ashes.
But you can't make a big batch and pour it off, that's right.
If you have a big batch of water,
you
pour a little bit of ashes in, and then you're going to divide that bottle in 20 parts. So if you're going to have a bottle where the ashes are not visible, so take
some ashes. You
have to pour more ashes then. Okay. So the Tanakhama and the Brisa says that there are only these three mitzvahs, Mola, Taryag mitzvahs, and the Torah. These are the three where the halacha depends on visibility. You have to mix in so much sand into the cup of water for the soita that it should be noticeable, and the ashes should be mixed in the bottle of water for Hazos Shlishi Shvi. And when the Yavama spits on the floor, it should be visible to the Bezdin. If you have many people watching, they don't have to see everything. That's not. But the Bezdin is Li'ikuvah. So the whole Rikika is not Mi'akev. But if you want to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa of the Chalitza, so the mitzvah b'shleimusa requires the Rikika, and the Rikika should be visible by the members of the Bezdin. And then the Tana Rabbi Shmuel adds on a fourth thing. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, the name of the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, they added on the fourth din, Av Dam Tzipur. When you have a Metzora who becomes cured, and he has to bring shtei tziporim chayis tahiros, he has to shecht one of the two tziporim, and then he has to set the other one free. So when he shechts the damhat, when he shechts the tzipor hashchuta, when he shechts it, he has to shecht it on a container of mayim chayim. So how much damhat tzipor has to fall into the container of water? So he says it has to be enough that it should be noticeable. If it's going to be so much water, mayim chayim in the container, and so little damhat tzipor hashchuta that it's not noticeable, usually blood and water will be noticeable. But if you have very little blood, now you have an awful lot of water, then it won't be noticeable. So Rabbi Shmuel says that it's no good.
They do shchita, or they do
malika? I think you do shchita. It's not a korban. It's not a korban. Malika is only when you do korbanos. Malika you do by chata soif and oil soif. But the tzipor hashchuta is not at all a korban. I think it says v'shochat asa tzipor hachayim. I think it says nechumish v'shochat. I think so. So Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says that the dam of the tzipor hashchuta should be so much and the water should be so little that it should be noticeable. And Tanakhama disagrees, as long as you have a mashu of dam, even if it's not noticeable, it's also good. So the Gemara says, where does Rabbi Shmuel pick this idea up? My time of the Rabbi Shmuel is the Gemara dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk, v'tov alay sema dama tzipor hashchuta ala mayim hachayim shtek lokach etzer z'v'yez v'shnisay loas. He has to dip it into the damat tzipor hashchuta. V'tanya, we have a brisa. The brisa points out that there seems to be a contradiction. One pasuk says v'tov aloysim b'damat tzipor hashchuta, and then it's v'tov aloysim b'mayim. So where do you dip it? Do you dip it into the damat? Do you dip it into the mayim? Yochol b'dam v'lo b'mayim. Maybe you only have to dip it into the dam. You don't have to dip it in the mayim. What do you mean? How is that possible? You dip only in the dam, not in the mayim. I mean, you're going to have dam in one container, mayim in a different container. You only have to dip the etzeres v'yez v'shnisa olans into the dam, not into the mayim. No, tamalam b'mayim. It says you have to dip into the mayim. Iba mayim yocham b'mayim v'lo b'dam. Maybe two containers, you only have to dip the etzeres v'yez v'shnisa olans into the mayim and not into the dam. Nein, tamalam b'dam. Oh, ketzad. So what does it mean? You have to dip it both into the dam and into the mayim. So the answer is, maybe mayim shadam atzip and nika b'hem. It should be noticeable. So then it's considered that you're satisfying both of the psukim. You dipped the etzeres v'yez v'shnisa olas both into the dam and to the mayim because it's noticeable. You can see that there's dam and you can see that it doesn't look like it's all dam, nor does it look like it's all mayim. You can tell that it's a combination of both. Freg di gemara, so it sounds like a good pasuk. So why does the Tanakhama disagree? Tanakhama only says that there are, from all the tariag mitzvahs, there are only three mitzvahs where the halacha requires visibility. Why does the Tanakhama disagree with Rabbi Shmuel? V'Rabbanan zogdi gemara nein. Ula gufei. No, I need it. I don't see. The Rabbanan don't see any drasha there. The ochi kamarachman atol b'dam b'mayim. The pasuk means you should mix. You shouldn't be mekabel the dam in one container and the mayim in a different container and dip and only dip the eight seres v'yezer v'shnisa olas into one of the two, or to dip it twice, once in this container, once in that container. No. You have to dip it once into the dam and the mayim, mixed together. But the Rabbanan say there's no extra word, there's no extra mashmos in the pasuk that should imply that it has to be visible. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, what are you talking about? In Cain, that's all the pasuk is telling me, that the dam and the mayim should be mixed together in one container, you should dip in both. It wouldn't have to be written longhand like that. V'tov aloysim adam, v'tov aloysim amayim. It should say v'tov aloysim bohem, v'tov bohem. Bohem is in the plural, so that would have the connotation of dam and the mayim. So why does it spell it out? Badaim u'bamayim lamali. So the answer is niker. Dam and the mayim means it should be noticeable that there's dam mixed into the water. It shouldn't look like it's all water. It shouldn't look like it's all dam. The Rabbanan say no. Ikos rachmanu v'tovol bohem. If it would say the way you suggested, you should be tovol leitzeres v'yezim v'shinisolas in them. And the mashmos would be clear. It means dam and the mayim. I would have thought habamina. I would have thought mistakenly. You can be mekabel a dam of the tzipor hashchuta in one container and fill up the mayim achayim al keli in a different container. V'tovol behem. Dip the eight seres into this and then dip the eight seres into that. Because rachmana b'dam of amayim to teach me la'arvan that you mix together the dam and the mayim in the same container. But there's no mashmos that it has to be noticeable. No mashmos has to be nicker. So how does Rabbi Shmuel know that? Rabbi Shmuel says, no, that I know on my own, that the dam and the mayim have to be together. And the fact that it spells it out, dam and mayim, means it should be nicker. V'Rabbi Shmuel, la'arvon, how do you know you have to the dam and the maim have to be in the same container. That's korach rinah. That's based on a different pasuk that says v'shochdes hatzipor ho'echos al klicheres amayim. How does it say? You take lokach shtei tziporim chayis tahiras, and you should shech the tzipor hashchuto al hamayim hachayim. So if I have a container full of water, and I shech the tzipa shchuta alamayim achayim, obviously it's going to be mixed in together in the same kli. It says that already la'arvon, that it's in the same kli. Not that you have the dam in one kli, and the mayim in the other kli, and you dip the etzeres twice. You dip it in here, dip it in there. It says already in the pasuk that it's larva. So why does it spell out badam b'vamayim? So that must be to teach me that it should be nicker. Fregding ma'vir abanon, no. Isn't that what it says, that it's mixed in together? Why do they require another phrase, badamu b'mayim, to teach me la'arvon? It's from the mashmos of the pasuk, you see, like this. Gemara says, not necessarily. Ime hahu, if you would only have the pasuk that says, v'shochet atzet zipo ha'achos ala mayim ha'chayim, I would have thought that it means like this. He has to hold the oif, the tzipor drawer, has to hold the tzipor drawer on top of the container of the mayim chayim al keli, and then he should shecht it. But it doesn't necessarily say that the dam goes from the shechita into the mayim. Maybe I have another container on the side. So I hold the tzipor drawer over here, I shecht it, and I squeeze the dam into another container, and then I'll dip it in twice. I need a pasuk to say, no, the dam and the mayim should be in the same container. The Rabbanan said, Tanakhama says, if you only have the pasuk that says, v'shochet atzat tzipor ha'echos ala mayim ha'chayim, I would have thought you should hold the tzipor drawer on top of the mayim, but not necessarily that the dam should go into this kli. I would have thought mistakenly, I should shecht it near the kli that has the water, I should hold on to the blood vessels. When I shecht it, the dam doesn't necessarily have to drip into this container of water. I'll collect the dam from the tzipor shchuta in a different container and then dip twice. I'll dip into the dam separately, dip into the mayim separately. So that's why it has to say, "Badam amamayim la'arvon." So b'kitzah, they both agree. All the tanaim agree that you're supposed to, as it says in the pasuk, "Yeshech the tzipor hashchuto on top of the container that has the mayim achayim in it." And they both agree that you have to shech it in such a way that the dam falls into the mayim. When you dip in the etzeres v'ezayv, you should dip in the mayim, and the dam should be mixed in together. They argue, is there a mashmois in the pasuk? Is there an extra phrase in the pasuk that implies that it should be noticeable, that it should be nikkur?
I think it's a little bit also like you say that you may shecht it and hold an egg and dip like that. It's a little
strange. Avada strange.
Why is that?
But it's not. They argue that it's not explicit. It just says you should shecht it, holding it on top. It doesn't necessarily mean you hold it on top that the dam should drop in here. You should hold it on top. It should be near it. The tzipor hashchuta should be near the kli that has the mayim, but not necessarily implying that you mix it together. Rabbi Shmuel says no. The pasuk pshat and the pasuk is shechted here that the dam should fall in directly. Yeah? So that's the machlokes. There was one of the chachamim who was expelled from the yeshiva. That was Rabbi Yirmiya. He was apparently a character, and he used to chepe all the time about shiurim. If something is kezais, or something is a revis, or something is aboim so, let's say aboim so. Why do you need aboim so? The shiaru chachamim, if you toivel one limb at a time in the mikveh, it's no good. You have to be toivel maim shekol gufo ela b'hem b'vasachas. You have to submerge the whole water under the mikveh at one time. So how much water do you need? So it depends how tall you are and how fat you are. If you're big, fat, tall, a giant, you're going to need more than aboim so. He needs more. I'll be pashtus. He needs more. And if you're a tiny little midget, so you don't need aboim so. So the Gemara has a lashon. V'shiru chachamim. The chachamim established it's aboim so. What? It's always aboim so for everybody. I mean, for an average person, it's aboim so. The Rosh Hashulchan writes in Hilchas Mikvos, a davar pashut. Let's say a person is a tall giant and fat and everything. So he says, a davar pashut. Of course, you need more than aboim so. It won't cover him otherwise. So the moon katcha.
Why did you put a baby? Why did you need that for the
moon
katcha?
Yeah. So that's how loy plug the rice, and you always need a boim so. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes a double portion. If a guy is very tall, very fat, of course you need more than a boim so. It has to cover the whole body. So the moon katcha in the Dark Yeshiva quotes that. So he says it's like kfira. The halacha says a boim so. What do you mean the halacha says? He's not going to be submerged under the water of Vasachas. What kind of epsa? I thought it was a silly taina. Yeah, the chep is the orach hashul. So this Rabbi Yirmiyah always used to chep. If you have a shear, so out of the Chachamim established the shear is exactly like this. So the Gemara says in Baba Basu that on one occasion they had to kick him out of the base medrash because he was chepping too much. They said, don't chep it. The Chachamim made a shear, and that's it. The shear is for the average, and it covers most cases. So here he's chepping also. Boy Menei Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rab Zeira. He was a Talmud, but Rab Zeira said, yes, what's the din? If you have for the Taharas HaMetzor, you have to take Shtei Tziporim Chayis Taharas, Tzipor Dror. So what if you have a gigantic Gedoyla, a gigantic Tzipor Dror, that's going to have an awful lot of blood, and you're going to have very little mayim? What if you have Gedoyla, Umadeches Es HaMayim, and there's so much dam coming out, it looks like the whole container is full of blood. It doesn't even look like it's mixed in with any water. Or Faket, what if you have a Tzipor Dror that's a baby, a tiny little Ktana, and you have a lot of water, v'nitches mepneamayim, and it's not noticeable, and it's not visible. Right. So what would Rabbi Shmuel say in such a case? Rabbi Shmuel says that halacha is you always have to have, the fourth case we require, it should be visible, should be nikar, should be noticeable and visible that it's mixed in with water. You have to see both. You have to realize that there's water, you have to notice that there's dam. What's it did in this case? So the Rebbe told him, Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Yirmiyah, stop chepping. Lava min alach, haven't I told you already many times over, don't put yourself outside of the halacha. The Chachamim had a tradition that b'tzipa drosh yir rabbanon, the Chachamim said that the mitzora fataras, a mitzora has to get a certain type of a, has to be a kosher bird, but has to be a tzipa drosh, one that flies around freely, not a domesticated bird. And ein l'cha gdor l'shem adeches es ha-mayim, ein l'cha k'tanu sh'nitches m'tnei ha-mayim. It doesn't exist. The shada that you're asking is not existent. It's never going to happen. A tzipa drur will always have enough dam that it should be noticeable, and it never has so much dam that it's going to look as if there's no water there. So he told him it's a silly question. Okay. The shada was within Rabbi Shmuel. According to the Chachamim, there's no requirement that it should be nikar, that it has the dam mixed into the water. But Rabbi Shmuel adds on the fourth case. So that was his shayla. What would Rabbi Shmuel say in such a case? Now the Gemara has a new shayla. When you mix together the ashes from the paraduma with the container of water, or when you mix in the offer from the karka hamishkan into the cup of water that the saita is going to drink, which comes first? Is the halach? Is there a kpeda? Which comes first? First you have to have the water and then you pour in the ashes. And by the sati, you have to have the water first, then you pour in the offer. Or maybe the other way, maybe it doesn't make a difference. What's a din l'chatchila, what's a din b'dieved? So the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim, also Tosefta. Higdim offer lemayim. If he first put in the offer, then he pours the mayim in, so it's a machlokes, Tanakama holds puzzle. Tanakama says that it's no good, both by por aduma and by the sati. The halacha says, you always have to have the first the mayim chayim in the kli, and afterwards you put the offer or the efer on top of the mayim. And Rab Shimon disagrees. He said there's nothing wrong. Shimon Machsha. So the Gemara, what is it based on? What do the psukim say that everything is based on? My time with the Rab Shimon, why does he say that it's kosher b'dieved? So the Gemara, and because by Parah Aduma it says, v'lokhol atome me'afras reifas hachatos, you should take some of this sand. This word offer and the word efer we had last week. Efer is ashes with an aleph, and offer is sin, dust. So it says you should, instead of saying me efer sreifa sapora, it says me afar sreifa sachatos. The paradum is referred to as a chatos, chatosi. So the pasuk says you take offer. So the problem is v'tanya on Rav Shimchi, offer who? It's not sin, palo efer who? It's ashes. Shina kasu b'mashmoy, the pasuk wrote the wrong word. Instead of writing efer, wrote offer. Lo denamen gzer shaver, to bring to our attention that there's a connection between the word offer over here by the mixing of the ashes of the paraduma with the water and the mixing of the offer by the site of offer of the karka mishkan. Lo denamen gzer shaver, namely nemakan offer and nemal halan offer, by both by paraduma and by site the word offer appears. And the Gemara says in many places there are three different kinds of the Xerishava. There's a Xerishava where neither word is miyuter in the pasuk. There's a Xerishava muftna mitzad echad, but one of the words is unusual or strange or unnecessary. And then the best Xereshav is when it's Mufna Mishneidzdor. Let's say you have a book and you have a text on top of the page. So it says one, and then you look in footnote number one. You have an asterisk on top, then you have an asterisk on the bottom. So when you have a Xereshav and Mufna Mishneidzdor, so it's like you have an asterisk over here, an asterisk over there, and it indicates that there's a connection. What if you only have, in one of the two places, the word is Miyutar, or the word is strange, or the word is spelled differently here? Instead of saying Afer, it says Ofer. So the word is not Miyutar, but it's a strange form of the word. Or should it really be written Afer? So this is Mufna Mitzad Echad. So Reb Shimon thinks that that's good enough. Mufna Mitzad. The Gemara talks about Mufna Mitzad Echad, maybe Lemeidim or Meshivim. It's a valid Gzereshavah, but you can Dingzach with it. So apparently here there's nothing to Dingzach with. So Reb Shimon claims they have a Gzereshavah here. That what? The Gzer Shava? Right. You wear Tyson's Kasha.
Like Halakha Maishi, if someone says Halakha Maishi, it's a finger, that's it. You
told me
what that Shiva
and Kabetz is towards the end above the Mitzia, Yes, that Kasha. If they don't know Gzer Shava, Meyatzman, or Ken Kibla Mirabo, so what are the rules and regulations? That it has to be a Mufna, it has to be Mufna Mitzad Echad, Meidim and Meshivim. And so on. There's nothing to discuss. Either you have a Kabbalah, you don't have a Kabbalah. So that's what the Rishonim said. No, it's that you don't need a specific Kabbalah that this is the Gzereshava. If that were the case, and there's nothing to Dingzach about, you wouldn't need Muftan, you wouldn't need, there was nothing to be Meshivim about. So Tesis says they had a tradition, they had a Masorah of how many Gzereshava is the number, Mispar Gzereshava, how many you have a right to Dan, and then you have a right to Dan whatever you want, whichever Gzereshava you want. Your Gzereshava doesn't have to be Mekubal Misinai. It just you have to make sure that you haven't exceeded the number of Gzereshavas you have a right to make. And the other Rishonim say, not that they had a Misper Gzereshavas, they had a tradition on the words. They had Tachas Tachas, Nesina Nesina, Afer Afer, Offer Offer. And then you have a right to dash in any Offer Offer that you want. So you have to determine, is it Mufna, is there what to be Meshiv on? But there is room to negotiate. You see, the Rishonim point out from the Gemaras, all the Gemaras like that, that even a Gzereshava, you don't have to have a Masur Ishmet Piyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, that this Gzereshava teaches me this din. There is a lot of rabbinic input in darshaning Gzereshavas also. So that's what Rab Shimon says over here, that this Gzereshava is Mufna, even though neither word is Meyuter, it's Mufna Mitzad Echad, because the whole word is strange. Instead of Afer, it says Offer. So the answer is, the reason why the Chumash used a strange word, Shina Kosu B'mashma, strange word, Ladna Menek Zereshava. So it's Mufna Mitzarecha. So what's the relevance? That the din is going to be equal. Whatever the din is by Paraduma, it's going to be the same din by Sotah. So what is the din by Paraduma? So it's the same din. So what is the din? So he says, Nemekan offer by the Poraduma, Menel Halon by the Soita offer, Mal Halon offer al Gabi Hamayim, Afkan offer al Gabi Hamayim. That's how it says by the Soita. Veloch Akhem Tarka Mishka, I say Veloch Akhakain, Minhof Hashir Bekarka Mishka, Minasan El Hamayim. It says he puts the offer into the mine. So just like by the Soita offer El Hamayim, so by the Poraduma also. But what if you do it fakir? Uma akan, and by paraduma, higdim offer la mayim is kosher. If you do it in the reverse order, it'll also be good. How does he know? Because the pasuk sounds like it says that. It sounds like he put the water on top of the ashes. Af lahalon by the site also, higdim offer la mayim would also be kosher. How do you know by paraduma? That either way is good. So the answer is because trei kroik sidi. On the one hand, it says, menasan alav. Mayim Chaim. It says you have ashes. It says Venosan Olav. On top of the ashes you put Mayim Chaim. So it sounds like Alma Efer Bereshit. First you put the ashes of the Poradum. The sieve, then the other pasuk says you should collect Mayim Chaim El Keli. So the simple pshat is you take a Klicheris and you fill it up with Mayim Chaim from a Mayon, not from a rainwater. Mayim Chaim that flows from under a spring from under the ground is called Mayim Chaim. And you have Mayim Chaim Al Kel without any chatzitza, without any hafsoka, and then you put the ashes in later. So it's a contradiction between the two psukim b'por aduma gufa. One pasuk says Mayim Chaim Al Kel, Mayim Chaim goes into the kli directly. V'li hafsek, v'li chatzitza. Obviously, you put the ashes later. Then the other pasuk says V'nasan Olav Mayim Chaim. Put Mayim Chaim on top of the ashes. Alma. So from the second pasuk, Alma Mayim Bereishis. So which is it? Do you do the Mayim first, or do you do the Efer first? Okay, Tzatzer, Reb Shimon is of the opinion, what is on earth and what is on earth, and it's optional. So by Por Adum, it's optional, whichever direction you want to do is okay. And the Gzera Shavah tells you that by the Saita, it's also optional. Whichever direction, it's not needed l'chatchila one way or the other.
Huh?
Obviously, he's not worried about chatzitza. He says it's not a problem.
Huh? But he said only chatzitza, he says.
It sounds like it.
It's what's the chatzitza? Well, I don't understand. What
if you have the yeshes in the bottom of the kli first, and then you take the maim chaim, so it's not going to be maim chaim el keli. Maim chaim is not going to touch
the
kli.
Don't you think when you put the water onto it, the ashes are going to move?
It is going to move, but the simple mashmois of the word sounds like maim chaim el keli first. Maim chaim in an empty kli. That's what's on. Maim chaim in an empty kli. The mashmois is that the ashes come later. But then the other pasuk by Paraduma sounds fakir. The Nosan Olav Mayim Chayim. Nosan Olav means on top of the issues. So Reb Shimon says it's optional. Rotz are nice and Rotz are nice. You can do whichever way you want.
Rabbi, according to Rabbi Shimon, who learns Xer Shavu, the Shear Mayim, so let me learn also the Shear Mayim. They should have the same Shear. Afer Adama, Afer Par, and Afer Soap.
He says the Shear is the same, that they're both Shear Ro. They should both be visible. He doesn't say the Gzera Shavah. Why doesn't he say? This is who? This is Reb Shimon, and that was Rabbi Shmuel. I don't know. Maybe Reb Shimon doesn't hold from Rabbi Shmuel, and maybe they don't agree with each. But that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Reb Shimon should have to hold like Rabbi Shmuel because of Gzera Shavah.
Whatever the shear is for salt, it should be for.
Good point. That's a good point. I don't know. So that's the opinion of Reb Shimon, that it's optional. By Paraduma, you have the two psukim, it's optional, and the Gzera Shavah tells you that whatever the din is by Paraduma is going to be exactly the same din by the Saita.
Why can't you learn the Gzera Shavah the other direction? In this case, you don't have a choice over there, even though it says you can do it either way, you have to do it this way.
So, what are you going to do with the pasuk that says you can do first the Afer?
It just, because the pasuk specifically says, when a son of Allah, Mayim Chaim, hold on.
That's an olav. Maim chaim sounds like. So they thought. Maim chaim el keli. That phrase sounds like maim chaim el keli first, touching the kli. That's an olav. Maim chaim sounds like there's something there already, and you put the maim chaim on top of it. So these two phrases, the two parts of the same phrase, contradict each other. That's Reb Shimon Tainus. They seem to contradict each other. So the end of the story is that it's optional. If you want, you can do it like this. You want, you can do it like that. And the Gzera Shavah tells you that by Saita is the same din. Optional, you can do whichever you want. And the Rabbanon disagree. They say, no, you have to have first the water, and then put the yeshes on top, and then put the offer on top, both by Saita and by Por Aduma. So the Gemara says, how do they know the Rabbanon? Because El Keli Dafke. Nosan Ola Maim Chaim El Keli means that the water goes first directly into the Kli, and the yeshes come later. It says, Olav. Olav, doesn't it mean that you put the water on top of something that's already there? So the Gemara says no. First you put the water, then you throw the ashes on top by Paraduma. So if you're going to have the ashes floating on top, that's nishtoigen. So you have to be ma'arev. The ashes are going to be on top, and then v'nasan olav ma'im chayim, the ma'im that's already there in the kli, you should stir it together so that the ashes will be in the middle somewhere. So there'll be mayim, not only mato, there'll be mayim, malamayla as well. So that's how they interpret the word olav. Freg de Gemara, but Rab Shimon disagrees. How are the Rabbanon so convinced? Ve'ema olav dafke. Maybe the word olav means that the water should be put on top of the ashes, like Rab Shimon said. And El Keli doesn't mean dafke, the water has to come first. The Rabbanan, Reb Shimon says, you have a stira within the same phrase. Nosan Olav means the water is put on top of the ashes. Maim Chaim El Keli means the water comes into the Kli first. So the contradiction indicates that either way is acceptable, l'chatchila, there's no problem. And the Rabbanan emphasized, no, El Keli is dafke. And the word Olav is la'arev. So the Gemara says, how are they so convinced? Maybe fakir. Maybe the word Olav is dafke. You have to dafke, put the ashes first and then the water. And El Keli just means Shetechiyus and Mekeli. I shouldn't collect the Maim Chaim in one Kli from a Mayon and then pour it into a different Kli. I should take the Kli in which I'm going to do the Kiddush of the Eifa Parah, take it directly to the Mayon and get the water shetechi yusam mikli, not to pour from one kli to another. So the Gemara says, how would the Rabbanan so convinced that Rab Shimon is wrong? Rab Shimon said, interesting heora, that there's a contradiction minei bein in this phrase. So the Gemara says, no, they're convinced that he's wrong based on a svara. What's the svara? We have Yud Gimel Midah Shatornid Reshes Pem, and then they quote in the name of Rab Chaim, but there's a 14th Midah that's also very important. Svara, common sense. Sometimes svara is not common sense, sometimes svara means a Torah Dika svara, a Lomdish svara. So this is not common sense. For Yeska Shikr in the street, Yeska Goy in the street, he'll never think of this svara. This is a Torah Dika svara. Ma Matsina Muchamoka Machshe Lemaila, Afkan Machshe Lemaila. The Afer is Machshe the water, to make it into kosher meipara, and the offer is machsha the water to be able to mashke the soito. So the din always requires that you should, it'll be like tasav elayim and also, if you're going to put the ashes in first, then you can put the water in later, so it's backwards. So hasvara no senes, that's what they say, hasvara no senes, that you have to put the machsha in later. So that's the machlekes of Shimon and the Chacham hold that even if you do it backwards, but yeah, but it's possible. Higdim off of the mayim is possible. It's likuva that you have to have the machshir at the end. And Shimon says that either way is acceptable lachatchila. It's not even lachatchila versus b'diyevit. It's even good lachatchila. Rotsa oisa kazeh. Rotsa oisa kazeh. Al pi pashas, halach is like the chacham. Yep. That is possible b'diyevit. If you do backwards, it's possible b'diyevit. Before yeah, also, the pashas.
If you did it with b'diyevit, it's
no good even b'diyevit, yeah. You have to pour more. You can pour more ashes. I don't think you have to throw it down the drain. You can take this container with a little ashes paraduma, which is irrelevant, and then throw in a little bit of ashes. You have to throw in so much ashes the second time that it should be nicker without the first ashes. It has to be nicker. No. Maim Chaim is, if you took it directly from the Mayon, that's Maim Chaim. If you collected it from the Mayon in one kli, then you pour it into another kli, that's a violation of Shetech Yusim Bekeli. But if you collected it in this kli, that's not a problem. Now the Mishnah discusses Sivas. You have to write a Megillah Soita, then you have to erase it, and then the Soita has to drink the Maim Amorim. So the Mishnah has a three-way machlekes hatanaim. The Gemara is going to explain on Yud Zayin on the base. You look through the parsha. It says v'hishbi akoyin es ha'isha b'shuas ha'ola. The kohen has to. He asks the woman, "Are you innocent or guilty?" He says, "Innocent, innocent." She says, "She didn't do anything wrong. She wasn't mizana. Maybe she did wrong. Maybe she violated yichud. Maybe she did other things wrong. But she didn't. She was not mizana. She's not a soita." So then the kohen has to be mashbia her. Do you swear that you're telling the truth and that you accept the pinus of shvua sa'ola, a shvua that I'm innocent and an ola is a curse? Do you accept the pinus of the curse that if you're guilty of this aveira that you should die in misa mishuna? So she says amen, amen. She's maskim to the shvua and she's maskim to the curse. After she takes the shvua, then it says in the chumash because of hakoinus ha'ola sa'ela ba'sefer. First she has to take the shvua, then he writes it. If the kohen writes it before she took the shvua, then he's writing Pesukim from the Chumash. He's not supposed to write Pesukim from the Chumash. She's supposed to say the Shvu as it appears in the Chumash. She can say it in translation. That's why we started from the end of the Masech to Eil and Amarim. The Shvu Sasota can be said in any language, but you can't just say in your own language. You have to have a literal translation of the words in the Chumash. So she has to take the Shvu first, and then the Kohen writes down the Shvu Asol. It's considered that he's writing the Shvu if she took the Shvu first. So here the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, three opinions in the Mishnah on top of Yudzayin Amunav. Exactly how much does he have to write? So do we have a chumash here? Maybe.
Is that
Kohen writing itself, or if he has like that's over,
right?
No, he needs a Kohen has to write it. I think even the Rambam says a Kohen Kotn is no good. It has to be a Kohen is after Bar Mitzvah. It has to be written the Shema. So a Kotn can't write the Shema, and a Kohen has to write it. Pretty sure.
Has to be thrown in the
mind
lishmor,
or
has to be written
lishmor? Then you have to do the mechika lishmor.
It says
asiyah,
it's not law, it's
asiyah. Asiyah is so. The Gemara talks about the ksiva. The Gemara talks about ksiva lishmor.
And Rebbe, sefer means a cloth, or it means.
The word sefer means parchment, yeah.
But we learned from
gittin that sefer means you cause more sefer creases than
the Gemara has a limud. If not for the extra riba, I would have said sefer means parchment. But since it says v'kosav, so somehow they saw that the word v'kosav broadens it out and is lav davke klach. But over here, even though it says v'kosav v'konosav sefer ba sefer, you should have said also v'kosav v'komakom. So they don't darshan like that.
You can't use a fresh one. If it's a fresh parchment, it's not going to dissolve.
No, no, the parchment doesn't dissolve, just the ink has to be.
I know, but I'm saying if it's a fresh.
You have to use ink. It doesn't. If the ink gets absorbed into the parchment through and through and it's not going to get erased, that's no good. But the parchment doesn't have to disintegrate.
No, the ink has to dissolve off the parchment.
The ink has to dissolve off the parchment, right. That's a good question. We're going to have to learn on Yud Zayin on the base. We're going to have to learn the Rashi with the Tosfos. I'm not sure. Because the Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, where they need Sirtut. Rashi says you need Sirtut, just like in a mezuzah, you need Sirtut. So Rashi's opinion is a mezuzah needs Sirtut and Tefillin does not need Sirtut. What about a Sefer Torah? Sirtut means on the parchment before you start writing, so you scratch out lines, so when you write straight. So the halacha says that a mezuzah needs sirtut and tefillin does not need sirtut. What does the halacha have to say about a sefer Torah? Does a sefer Torah need sirtut or not? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos over here. Other mesichtes also.
Yeah, but if they say that
the parchment and tefillin requires sirtut, then it won't work. Tefillin does not need sirtut. Mezuzah needs sirtut. Yeah. So the Gemara discusses that too. If you have an old sefer Torah that you can't fix it, but you can save the two parshas Shema Yom Shemaya, so the Gemara talks about Malam Hakadosh Olam Aridni. You're not allowed to take the parshas from a sefer Torah, which had a higher level of kedusha, to use it from mezuzah. So Tosfos asks the kasha, what do you mean? If the din is that a sefer Tosfos holds that sefer Torah does not need sirta, Rashi holds sefer Torah needs it. So according to Tosfos, that a Sefer Torah does need Sirtut, and a mezuzah does. So what are you telling me a story that the reason why you're not allowed to switch a Sefer Torah, you can't cut out Shema V'Hayam Shema to use it, a mezuzah because Malam HaKadosh V'Olam HaRit, and say because there is no Sirtut? It's not Ma'akev if you did Sirtut. So that's what Tosfos says, we're talking that he did Sirtut. We're talking that he did Sirtut. That's what Tosfos answers, yeah. But the question is, doesn't have to have Sirtut Lishma. The din is that a Sefer Torah does not need Ksiva Kesidron. If you have a mistake in a Sefer Torah, you correct it. You don't have to write Bereshis, Beis, Reish, Aleph. If you can write backwards, it's also good. But Tefillin and Mezuzah have to be written Kesidron. So that's a good question. How can the Gemara discuss the possibility of using... How do you know the Sefer Torah was written in the correct order? Maybe by mistake they left out a letter and then they filled it in later. So you can't. How can you even consider using the parsha from the Sefer Torah from the mezuzah? Mezuzah needs Ksiva Kesidron. Sefer Torah doesn't. The Gradadin of Kesidron never says in the Gemara. It doesn't say in the Gemara Kesidron. It's a Mechilta says you need Ksiva Kesidron.
Prove that it wasn't. Prove that it wasn't.
I bet it's Machwell of Horizon, Didi Mamanis, or somebody's
book. No, I'm just saying, what is it that it wasn't done that way?
A lot of times the Sefer Torah has a mistake, and then you correct it later on. So, how do we know it should be at least a suffix? Maybe something was written out of order. So, that's the question. Is there really a din that you need? Ksiva Kesidron? The Gemara never has it. The Mechilta has it. There's a Tosfos in Menaches, but Tosfos sounds like they say Beferish. That if you have a missing letter in the Tefillin and Mezuzah, you can fill it in later. So on the side of the Gemara, they ask the Kasha in the brackets on the Gilya, they ask the Kasha, but what about the Mechilta that says you need Ksiva Kesidron? So they suggest that maybe Tosfos understood Kesidron just means the letter should appear in the right order, but you don't necessarily have to write them in the right order. In a Sefer Torah, let's say, if it says the word Bereshis,
not in the right order to appear in the word, not the right word.
No, let's say the word Bereshis, and I left out an Aleph by mistake. I wrote Beis Reish Shin Yud Tef.
The space.
No space. I wrote Beis Reish, and I left out the aleph and shin yud tav. I left out an am. So the Gemara says you write the aleph on top. You write the aleph on top. So that's not only did I write after I wrote the whole sefer Torah, I put in the aleph. So I wrote it shalak hisidron, and the letters are shalak hisidron because you look in the sefer Torah, it's not in a straight line. The aleph is somewhere else. He made a mistake. So they say maybe Tosis understood the need for ksiva, kisidron, and mezuzah and in tefillin doesn't mean that you have to write first letter first, second letter second, third letter third. It just means if you left out a letter, you can fill it in later, but you can't fill it in on top of the line. You have to erase a little bit, and everything should read straight in order. That's not the way we assume in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted interpretation of the Mechilta is that you need really ksiva, kisidron, you have to write Kadesh, Vayokiv Yacha, Kuf first and Dalad and then Shin, all the letters have to be noticed. So that's a good question. How can the Gemara discuss the possibility of taking an old parsha from a Sefer Torah and using it for a tefillin from a mezuzah? Maybe it was written Shaloi Kisid. So it must be a talk about a case that we know it was Kisid.
When we have Siyumim, I'm writing in a brand new Sefer Torah, the last few lines have outline letters, and when the person is writing, filling it in, he's writing the letter. So it's Shaloi Kisid.
A lot of times in Shalek Kisid, they ask you, what's your name? What letter do you want to say?
Exactly.
So I say, my name is Tzvi, I want a Tzadik. So I fill in a Tzadik. Then another person fills in an earlier letter.
The other letter.
Right. So say, for Torah, you don't need Kisidra.
Right.
Say, for Torah, you don't even need Kisidra Lachatchila. Only in Tvila Mezuzi, you need it Likuva. Tvila Mezuzi, you need it Likuva. We mentioned, there's a Tshuva in the collection of the Shalosh Tshuvas HaRitvah. He writes a chiddush that Shema v'Hayom Shema Kadesh v'Yakiv Yachad. These four parshas in a Sefer Torah require ksiva kisidron, and if the letters in these four parshas are written backwards, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. So someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, "Where in the world did he get that from?" So he had never heard of this, so he wasn't phased. So he said, "Yeah, it's probably based on the Gemara in Erevin. There's a Gemara in Erevin in the first parak, Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara has a little bit about." About whether Megillah Saita has to be written Lishmo or not. Let's say they wrote a Megillah Saita, one woman came into the Beis Hamikdash, the two women came into the Beis Hamikdash, Neomash Biahar, and then they're ready to write the Megillah Saita. So they wrote this Megillah Saita for Rachel, the first customer. Then the first customer admits that she was Mizana, or whatever. The husband says, I don't want to bother her anymore, he's Meichel or whatever. Some reason or another, someone drops dead, the husband dies, the wife dies. So we have a Megillah Seita that was written for the first couple. We're not going to use it. A Megillah Seita shenichteva for one woman, are you allowed to use it for the other one? So it's a machlekes hatanai. So the Gemara says, "Vaz bashteita machlekes." And the Gemara says, "Pashtus machlekes is, do you need ksiva lishma by Megillah Seita? If you need ksiva lishma, so if it's written for the other woman, it's no good." Then the Gemara goes into detail. Maybe it's not exactly so. So then the Gemara says, there is a machlekes hatanoim, a strange case. A sofer wrote a sefer Torah after the woman swore the shvuas asoita. She swore the shvuas asoita in the Beis Hamikdash. Then a sofer completes a sefer Torah. So we want to know, can we cut out which Meshugan is going to do this? Can we cut out the parsha soita from the sefer Torah? Sefer Torah is worth thousands of dollars. Can we cut out the parsha soita where the moichkin lo ben haTorah? So the Gemara says, "Vaz b'shteita machloikis, where they need ksiva l'shma or not? If you all need ksiva l'shma, so the Sefer Torah was written the same Sefer Torah, wasn't written the same site. If you all you don't need ksiva l'shma, so moichkin l'minatur." Okay, so it's a good question. Where should the idea come from? We assume you do need ksiva. Maybe it's learned out from Get. Maybe somehow we assume it's connected with Get. Right. I don't know. Maybe it does say because of law. How does it say?
Because of law. Almost the safer, I think.
Doesn't say law.
So
all the same about safer. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to look. It's going to come up here too. We'll have to look. Yeah. I don't know. So the Gemara there says like the Gemara in Saita, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel says like this: the din is a Megillah Saita You cannot write the Megillah Sota with ink that gets absorbed into the cloth, because then it's Ksav Sheni Yochel Lehimachas, it won't be able to be erased. So you have to write Parsha Sota, Megillah Sota has to be written with ink that lends itself to be erased. It shouldn't be absorbed. That's the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara there in Sota has a Machlokes HaTanoim. When you write a Sefer Torah, can you write Parsha Sota in the Sefer Torah with ink that is going to get absorbed into the cloth? So the Gemara says, if the din is, if the din allows you, if the din does not require Ksiva Lishma from Megillah Sota, and you can use this Parsha Sota in the Sefer Torah, can cut it out and use it for a Sota, then the din requires that Parsha Sota in the Sefer Torah should be written in an ink that's not absorbed. But if ein meichkalah min haTorah anyway, if ksivas Megillah Sota needs lishma, and you cannot use the Sefer Torah because it wasn't written lishma, then you can write the whole Sefer Torah, including Parsha Sota, with ink that's indelible, that can't be erased.
Doesn't that violate the Malon Kodesh from the region?
Sure it does.
Why would you be allowed to cut out the Sota to use it?
Probably would be a violation of Malon Kodesh from the region. Sure. I don't know. So what do you see from the Gemara? A very fascinating idea. If the din allows moichkin lo min haTorah, so this paragraph in the Sefer Torah is called Parsha Sota. If the din is a moichkin lo min haTorah, it's Parshas Nasai. It's Chumash Bamid, but Parshas Nasai. If the din allows you moichkin lo min haTorah, then I label the whole Sefer Torah is called the Sefer Torah. I label this section, these lines are called Parsha Sota, and that's halacha, Parsha Sota. I always thought, you always thought, we all thought that the reason why Parsha Sota has to be written in ink that can be erased, otherwise how can you use it for the procedure of the Sota? So the Gemara says, no, it's kach nemar halacha, Parsha Sota, even if you don't plan to use it, Parsha Sota has to be written in ink that can be erased. So similar to the Parsha Sota, so he says regarding Tefillin and Mezuzah as well. This Shuvah Seri Tvah helps. You're not allowed to take a Sefer Torah, cut out the Dalet Parsha Shema V'Yom Shema Kadesh Eikadech because Malam HaKadosh Ulam Marim. That's an Averi, you're not allowed to do it. But if you would do it, would it be good? You did an Averi. But if you do it, it would be good. So the Halacha says, that's called Parsha's Tefillin. Bereshis is not Parsha's Tefillin. Bereshis is a Sefer Torah. And Noyach and Lech Lucha, that's a Sefer Torah. But these Dalet Parshas are called Parshas HaTfilin. That's the halacha. Parshas HaTfilin need Ksiva Kesidron. We always heard a Sefer Torah doesn't need Ksiva Kesidron. Tfilin needs. So the Ritva said, no, Parshas of Tfilin need. You're not allowed to take out the Dalet Parshas and make a Tfilin out of it because of Maridin. But if not for the issue of Maridin, it would have been good. So you see, it's labeled similar to that Gemara in Erevin. It's labeled as Parshas Tfilin. Just like over there, it's labeled as Parshas HaSaita. He took such a peladik at Shuvah Seri Tva. He said, it's an offering in the Gemara. He sees where the Ritva got it.
If the whole Sefer Torah is not Kesidron, and that's Shuvah Seri Tva, but the Parshas Tfilin must be, even though the rest of the Sefer Torah does not have to be?
Well, if you want to use it for that purpose.
The Ritva says a Chiddush. The Dalet Parshas, Shema Ba'yom Shema Kadesh, and Kameach have to be written Kesidron even in the Sefer Torah.
Like Parshas Torah?
Yeah. That's like Parsha Sota. If you hold Mechkin Lomin HaTorah, so these psukim are called Parsha Sota. And Parsha Sota needs ink that should not be indelible ink. Parsha Sota, even if you don't plan to use it as a Parsha Sota, has the status of a Parsha. Probably.
Just those four Parshas.
Probably, according to that Ritva. Wow.
And if you made it public, if you discovered that it was an error, you'd have to erase all of the. Couldn't just fix it, you'd have to erase the whole thing,
right? The whole parsha, and then from that point on.
Yes.
And if you have Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem in order to be machshir the tefillin. That's a chiddush. That ritva is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. No one knew that this ksavyat existed. I think Machon Yerushalayim printed it in recent years. Yeah. So let's see again. So the Mishnah has a three way. Machlekes HaTanaim, how much do you have to write? So you look in the Parsha, the Kohen has to write Shvuas HaSoita, Shvuas HaOlo. The Shvuas, she swears I'm innocent, and the Olo, the curse that she accepts upon herself, the Misa Mishunah. So it says, "Vadaber shama Moshe leim adaber menes matalem ish ish kisiste ishtoi." That's not part of the shvuas asaita. Shachavi sashoshich vazera v'ala ruachkina v'kinesish v'hevi yisash ishtoi. That's not shvuas asaita. Then it says, "V'hemer akana seisha v'hishbiya." Okay, we're getting close. Warm. V'hishbiya oisa koin v'yomar elho isha. So does he have to write v'hishbiya oisa koin? That's not the shvuas asaita. V'hishbiya oisa koin v'yomar elho isha colon quotation mark. Now he's going. Im lo shachav is the beginning. It's not the shvua. It's the ola. But he starts off with the positive. If you're innocent, nothing will happen. Im lo shachav ishaisoch. Im lo satis tumatach. He nakim me hamar hamar me. Do you have to write that? Or do you only have to write the negative? The negative is the Allah. The positive is not, that's a blessing, that's not a curse, that's not the klala. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Because we say yesh, we say mechlal avatoshemehen, mechlal henatoshemeh alav. The Kohen tells her, if you're innocent, you'll have a baby, everything will go fine, don't worry, nothing will happen. You won't even get sick. People don't get sick from drinking water that has little ink, it has little sand. It's not poisonous, you shouldn't even get sick. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. Do you have to? You write the hishbiya koin, the hishbiya is hakoin v'amal ha'isha kolin. So he starts with imloy shachab, but do you write the imloy shachab into the text on the klaf or not? So that's already a machlekes hatanoim. Bolo lichtav is hamigila. The koin is writing the megillah soita after she already swore. Before she swore, it's not yet shvuas ha'soita. After she took the shvua, then he's writing. Because he's not supposed to write a text from Chumash. She's supposed to swear the text that says in Chumash, he's supposed to write the Shavuos HaSoita. So he can't write it before she swears. So when he's writing, so the Tanakhama says, Me'ezem Akam Mokosev, you don't start from Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph is the beginning, and where is this? Chapter Hey. In Parshas Nosa, Pasuk Yud Aleph. He starts from the middle of Pasuk Yud Tes. After the Hishbiyos HaKon V'amal HaYisha Kolin, Imloy shachav. There's a mistake over here. It says me v'imloy shachav. So the vav doesn't belong. The way it says in Chumash is imloy shachav ish. Then you keep on writing vat kisatis is the next pasuk. Then it says v'hishbi'a koin seisha b'shvuas ha'olam. That's instructions. So do you write that? So it says no. V'ein ukaz v'hishbi'a koin seisha. You don't write the beginning of Pasuk Chof Aleph. That's instructions. What does it say? V'amar koin lo isha, colon. Yitan Hashem ha'esach li, okay, Yitan Hashem ha'esach li olav v'lishvua. That's the curse. The Kosev, he starts from the middle of Pasuk Chof Aleph. Yitan Hashem ha'esach li olav v'lishvua. Then he writes, B'soch ha'meich. Then he writes to the end of Pasuk Chof Aleph. Then he writes Pasuk Chof Beis. V'o ha'mayim ha'mayim ha'edah b'meach, let's mel ha'mol yerach. Then it ends off, Yamrohu isha amein amein. So v'yamro hisha amein amein. That's instructions. So the Tanakhama says you don't have to write that. Be'enu kosev v'yamro hisha amein amein. Tanakhama says you only write the klolas with the shvu and so on. You don't write the instructions. Mm-hmm. You don't write the first 10 psukim. You don't. You leave out even the instruction in the middle. V'hishbiya kind of seisha. And you leave out the instruction at the end. V'yamro hisha amein amein. You don't have to write. Rabbi Yossi Yomer lo haya mafsik. Rabbi Yossi says, first, when you start writing, you don't start writing from the Hishbi Oisakoin. When you start writing Imlo Shach Avish Oisach, then you do include the instructions at the beginning of Chof Aleph. Hishbi Akoin is Oisha, and once you're writing ready, so you write till the end, Vram Oisha Main Amen. You write straight. You don't leave out the instructions in the middle, you don't leave out the instructions at the end. You don't have to include what's before that, what's after that. You don't have to include that, but just in these few psukim, from the middle of Pasuk Yud Tes till the end of Pasuk Chav Beis, so Rabbi Yossi says he writes everything. He has more writing than anybody else. And Rabbi Yehuda has less writing than the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you don't even write what the Tanakhama said. Not only do I disagree with Rabbi Yossi, who added on extra, I disagree with the Tanakhama, he has too much. Rabbi Yehuda says in the opening Pasuk, it says, "Im lo shachav ishay sach v'at lo satis hinoki m'me'a marm ha'marm ho'ele." You should be, if you're innocent, nothing will happen. So that's not part of the kalala. That's not part of the shua. That's not part of the kalala. There's a mechlal la v'ato shame'a hen. The inference is, if I'm guilty, I'll die in mesa mishuna. But since it's only by inference, it's not explicit, So Rabbi Yehuda says there's no need to write that. He only has to write the Shvuah Sa'ola, the part that has the Kalala. Ain't a case of Kalatzma, ain't a case of Ella, Yitan Hashemai Sachliyala, Vilashvuv, Lagaima, Abob Amai Marmel, Muyach, ain't a case of Amai Yishamain Amain. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Yasi that once you begin, you write everything. And he doesn't even agree with the Tanakama, who says that you write the first line, which is a Mechlal Abat Toshamehen. He chiseled away much more. That's why the Mishnah had, in the previous Mishnah, there was a Machlekes, how much more of a Revius or Chatziluk. So the Rabbi Yossi holds, you write twice as much as according to Rabbi Yossi, they need twice as much water. Rabbi Yehuda is he's the biggest maker. How much you write? Yeah. So you don't need so much water because. Okay, so here also he cuts a he right. He has much. He has half the amount of Rabbi Yehuda. He has half the amount of the water. That's how the Mishnah said. Just like his memayit tiksav, so to his memayit b'mayin.
The rest is a super meiser.
Yes, the rest is he doesn't have to write. That's not called Shavuos Olam. So the Gemara says, where do all the three shittas come from? So the Machlekes says, how do you darshan the psukim in the Chumash? But my kamefligi, b'hai kro kamefligi. It's a debate, it's a disagreement. How do you read the psukim? It says in the Chumash, v'kosa v'sa'ola sa'ela, ha'koyin ba'sefer, the koyin has to write. It says, v'hishbi ha'koyin ha'su'isho, and it says, v'kosa v'ha'koyin, the ksiva has to be done by the koyin also. He has to write it on the parchment. So the Tanakham is Rab Meir. The anonymous Tanakham is Rab Meir. So Rab Meir is of our... How do you read the pasuk? Because of has... It says, Olois with a Hei Haidea Ha'olos. Ha'ela. So you have Hei Haidea twice. So Rab Meir is of Olois would have meant Olos Mamish. Only the part that's Kalola. Ha'olois with a Hei Haidea is a Reboi L'Rabbis Kalolos Abbas Metach HaBrochas. The first pasuk. The first pasuk says, if she's innocent, she'll he naki, everything will be fine. So mechlal hena to shemeh alab, that if she's guilty, she'll suffer. So Rav Meir says, we require not only to write the outright olas, the hey haidi of her olas is a ribui, that you even have to write the klolas that are mechlal hena to shemeh alab, the klolas that are inferred from the brachas. Then it says, her olas ha eile, with a hey haidi. So the word Eile is usually a miut, this and nothing else, and Hey Haidia is another miut on top of miut. Eile is l'mut deklal d'shem in Mishnah Torah. You have the Teuchecha and Mechukosai and the Teuchecha and Kisavoy, so you don't have to write. You don't have to write all every place in the Chumash that a klal appears, the Teuchecha, no. Just Ha'ela, the klal is over here in Parshas Nasa.
What's the habit to write the klalas in the Teuchecha?
Because it says Ha'olais. And that's Dibre Ha'olah. The Kriyas is Bris Hav Brachas the Klolos. Yeah. So one might have mistakenly thought that you have to write the section in the Chumash where it has a long Megillah of Klolos. So he says, no, Ha'elah. Only the Klolos here.
Isn't the phrase part of the Bet Yochanan tells her, the phrase Hatzuba Specifah Terazah, isn't it, aren't those words in the Bet Yochanan is telling her? The words, I don't have a Chumash in front of me.
I think that's a pasuk in the Teuchach. I think so. That's not over here. So Rav Meir said the first time it says the word Eile is l'muti klodosh of Mishnah Torah. You don't write the Teuchach in Kisava. Why does it hey hayadia? That's a miot on top of me. Ha Eile is l'muti tzavos v'kabolos amein. Not only do you leave out the klodosh in Kisava, you don't even write the full text over here. You don't write instructions. When it says v'hishbi akarnes v'isha, you leave it out. And then the second time v'hishbi akarnes v'isha, then the end it says v'yamar isha amein amein. That's instructions. So you leave out the instruction. L'mutet tzavos v'kabolos. The Gemara is going to ask later on, how did you darshan like this? Ha'olois, the hey haidi of ha'olois is a ribui, as opposed to the hey haidi of ha'ele is a miut. How come this hey haidi is a ribui, this hey haidi is a miut? So the Gemara says simple, because the word Olois is a ribui. So the Hey of Ha'olois is another ribui. And the word Eile is a miut. These are not others. So the Hey idea of Ha'eile is going to be a miut. That's how the Gemara. That's the style of darshaning psukim. The style of darshaning has been lost already many generations ago. So the Gemara tells you that this is what the Tanoim's thinking was. That's how they.
Give this
site to
somebody.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, for Rabbi Yossi, how does Rabbi Yossi know that you have more? You're not mopsik. So he says, Kulu kidakarmat, I agree with everything that you said. Everything is correct. But just one added kinage. Because of Hakoin S Ha'olosail. And there's a machlaikas, Shimon Hamsaini and Achemi Hamsaini is the darshan every time it says the word S. S is a marbis something additional. And the Gemara says he was darshaning the whole Chumash from the beginning of Bereshit till he got to the pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. How can it be S? The rabbis what? So he backed out and he told the Talmidim he backs out from all the drushes. Asher bar Rabbi Kiva v'limei till Rabbi Kiva said, no, I agree with all the drushes of Shimon Hamsaini. And Es Hashem Elokecha Tira the rabbis Talmid Chachamim. The Rabbi Mubach, Rabbi Mufik is Mora Rabbi Kemora Shamayim. So it's a machlokes hadaran where they darshan S. So you don't darshan S. Shimon Hamsaini before he backed out, and Rabbi Akiva holds he shouldn't have backed out, they hold you do darshan S. Then Shimon Hamsaini backed out, you don't darshan S. So the Gemara says that's the machlokes hatanaim over here. Rabbi Yossi agrees everything kidiko amrit, everything Rabbi Yossi kula kidiko. I agree with all the drushes of Rabbi Meir except one thing S. Kasal kain S alos aelu. So S is l'rabbis. And Rabbi Meir holds like Shimon Hamsaini who backed out S and like darish. He doesn't darshan S. So he's left with the drasha the way he worked it up. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda chisels away even more. He leaves out, not only does he leave out the tzavos, the instructions, he even leaves out the mechlal hen atur shamei alav, the klola that's inferred from the bracha. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda kulu b'miyuti dorshul, he darshans everything lamait, 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 vos vintzige. You write much less from the psukim. Namely, olos is the klolos, olos mamish. Ha olos dehei haidia. So Reb Meir said before, the hey idea of ha'olos is marbe, and the hey idea of ha'ela is memayit. One hey idea is memayit, one hey idea is marbe. And Reb Yehuda thinks, no, kula b'miyuta, everything is memayit, memayit, chiseling away. If it would have just said ha'olos, it would have meant ha'olos mamish, all the klolos. Now that it says ha'olos, hey idea is memayit mo, l'muti klolos abos machmas brachas, I would have thought that that should be included, and they say, no, there's another miyut. Then it says, Eile lemute klalish and mishn tor, what's ha, Eile the hey idea, vaita lemute, all four are lemute. You don't distinguish between the first hey idea and the second, they're both miyut. Then the Gemara explains, Rab Meir, how did Rab Meir decide that one hey idea is a miyut, one hey idea is a ribuy? Maishna hey, hi hey, the marbi bay, maishna hi hey, the mait bay. How does he know one hey is a ribuy, one hey is a miyut? So he says, push it, hey, the gabi, the ribuya. Ribuyahu, the word alois is telling you what you do have to write. So the hey ha alois is telling you have to write more. But the word eile is means eile v'loy acherim, only this and not others. So the hey idea ha eile is memayit even further. Hey, the gabi miyuta miyuta. Then the Gemara frek takashe. Rab Meir has a machlokes with the chachamim in three different places. What do you say? Mechlal lav atur shemehen. There is a pasuk in the Chumash that if a person, you're not allowed to curse another Yisrael. Los ikal cheresh. Amakal chaver is loike. If you curse someone, you're loike. So what do you mean you curse? I say Yakh Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlom should punish him. But if I don't refer to the Rebbeinu Shlom, I say you should drop dead. Why should you drop dead? I say the Rebbeinu Shlom should kill you. That's called a klala. You have to be mekalal the shem Hashem. So what if the person says the Rebbeinu Shalom should never bless you, should never give you any happiness, he should never give you any wealth, he should never give you any children? I said it in the negative. I didn't say in the positive. I said he shouldn't give you blessings. He shouldn't give you blessings. Either you get a blessing or you get a curse. There's nothing in between. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So Reb Meir says you don't say mechlalav atos shmehen, mechlalhen atos shmehalav. If he says lo yivarecha Hashem, that's not the equivalent of yikalel Hashem in his ain loike. And the chachamim disagree, and they say no. If he curses the other man, saying lo al yivarecha Hashem, it's the equivalent of cursing, and he gets malchus v'lo sikal cheresh. That's the one machlekes hatanai. Then the Gemara has another machlekes hatanai by Tanai. That's a Rashi quotes by Tanai. It says, when the Bnei Gadim Bnei Ruvain didn't agree, the original plan was they were going to divide up Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is over here, and Eretz Yarden is to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So originally they were going to divide in 12 parts. Like you have a home and you have a parking lot, you have a home and you have a front lawn, a home and a back lawn, whatever. They're going to have 12 sections, and everyone's going to get parallel. That's how the Ramban. Everyone's going to get a sliver of Eibra Yarden, Mechuvan Keneged, his share in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Bnei Gadim Neiruven had Mikne Rav, Hoyle Bnei Gadim Neiruven, and they requested, instead of getting everybody should get a sliver, we shouldn't get any chalik in the western part of Eretz Yisrael. Let's divide everything in circles. And we'll get the two big chunks in Eibra Yarden, and everybody else will get in Eretz Yisrael. We won't get anything in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabbanu Shalom said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, name Rabbanu Shalom, ala Tanai, he's agreeing. If Bnei Gadim, Bnei Reuven are prepared to fight in the battle, to win, you're going to tell them, everybody fought to get Eibra Yarden. They're going to fight to get Eretz Yisrael. Reuven and Gad are going to stay behind. So Moshe Rabbeinu said in the name of the Rabbanu Shalom, the deal is on, provided that they help in the battle to win Eretz Yisrael. So there was a Tanai Kofel. He said, Em Yavru Unisatem. If they help in the war effort to win Eretz Yisrael, then the deal is on, and you get the whole share in Eretz Yisrael. You don't get any. You get to share in Eibra. Yeah, you don't get anything in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Yavru, then the old plan is on. We're back to plan A. Everybody gets a sliver going across. Loirach. So, was it really necessary to say the hen and the lav? Im yavru nisatim, im lo yavru, then the deal is not on. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. So Rab Meir is of the opinion you have to have tanai kofel, you have to spell out explicitly the hen and the lav.
The hen first.
And the hen first, the Gemara says. You have to have hen kaidim loav. So you have to first say, let's say a man gives a get to his wife. Let's say the man is sick on his deathbed, and he says, and he does want his wife to have to go through the whole rigmarole of having chalitza. So he says, if I die within a month, I raise a gittach me'achshav. He's about to die, so he said, if I die within a month, I want his get to take effect now. And if I don't die within a month, I don't want the get to be valid. So is it necessary for him to say both? So Rav Meir says, yes, you have to say the end first, and then the lav, and if you only say one half, it's no good, and that's what he learns out from the parasha of Tanai Bnei Gadim Neiruven. The Moshe Rabbeinu said, the hen and the lav, he spelled everything. And the Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir, and they say, if you say one way, the other way is self-understood. Mechlal hen ato shemeh lav, mechlal lav ato shemeh hen. If you say one way, is ginuk, there's no need to say both ways. Why was Bnei Gadim Neiruven? Because it wouldn't have been understood. If he wouldn't have said it explicitly, one might have thought, im lo yavru, if they don't help in the war, they shouldn't get anything. They shouldn't get Eibra Yarden, and they should forfeit their share in Eretz Yisrael because it didn't live up to their commitment. So that's why Hayadavet Tzarech Liyamro. If it wouldn't say im lo yavru v'nochazu v'soichechem, so one would have thought im lo yavru, they don't get anything. They don't get the deal. They don't get Eibra Yarden, and they don't deserve Eretz Yisrael because it didn't help in the war effort. So that's why the Chumash had to spell out both the head and the lav. But in a normal Tanai, where it's self-understood, I say, if it snows tomorrow, the get should be chal. If it doesn't snow, the get not going to be chal. What's the need to say the hen and the lav? Just say one. So it's a machlekes hatanan, whether you say mechlal hen ato shmei lav or not. The third case is, Tesis quotes it, third case is, let's say, by a shvua. A person takes a shvua, so he's, let's say, a shvua is an isa gavra. So the fellow says, I swear I will not. The doctor says he's overweight, he should lose weight, and he can't control himself unless he takes a shvua. So he says, I take a shvua, I will not eat potato chips, no cookies, and no candies. That's called a shvua. What if he says, I swear I will eat nutritious food that's not fattening? He meant to say, I swear I will not eat fattening food. It's clear that that's what he's doing. The doctor says, you got to go on a diet. And he says, I will violate the diet. So the doctor says, take a shvua. So the patient says, okay, I swear I will eat nutritious foods.
Lashon
Nekir. What he meant to say is, I swear I will not eat fattening foods. So the doctor, so that's a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachami. Rav Meir holds, you don't say mechlal avat shemehen. He never said the shvua. The shvua is not yet binding. The Chachamim disagree. Mechlal hen ato shemei alam, mechlal hen ato shemei alam. So the Gemara here, Frek Takashe, Rav Meir is the one who holds you don't say mechalala batushim ahead. So how come Rav Meir is the one who says over here that you do have to write the first pasuk? Im lo shachav ishoy safeat lo satis tuma tachas ishech hinaki. Because that's a klala that's inferred from the brocha. Mechalal hen atushim alav. Freg the Gemara, but Rav Meir is the one v'haleis l'dramei mechalala batushim ahead. Isn't there a contradiction in Rav Meir? He's the one who usually says, you don't say mechalal. By Shavua he says it, by klala he says like that, and by Tanai he doesn't believe in mechalal av ato shemehen. So why is all of a sudden is different over here? So the Gemara gives an answer. It's a very unclear answer. Arab Tanchum, he no kiksiv. The way the pasuk is written, it's very mashma. He no ki, if you're innocent, and if not, it should be chinoki. You should choke to death. You should die from the Mayim Amorim. Somehow over here, it's more, it's not only Michlal Lav, it's not Michlal by inference. I said one thing and the inference is another thing. Somehow over here, it's considered more explicit. Is it, like in Hilchah Shabbos, there's a din, you're not allowed to do Amir Eliyakim, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a Malacha, but if you only do Beremez Dak, then it's okay. If you give a Remez Gas, let's say, I asked the Nochri to come into the house. I say, oh, I'm Shem Shabbos, I'm not allowed to turn on the lights. I wish somebody would turn on the lights. I can't eat anything. I keep on laying it on thick. So that's a Remez Gas. So if it's a Remez Gas, so that's equivalent of Amir Ola Nochri. And if you just make a Remez Dak, I say, well, I guess I won't be able to eat it because there are no lights in my house. So if you make a Remez Dak, so then it's not called a Tzibur. So that's what Rav Meir, that's what the Gemara seems to distinguish. When does Rav Meir hold that you don't say Mechlala Vato Shemehen? If it's an inference, but if it's a Remez Gas, like over here, Hinoki, a Hey and a Ches are practically the same thing. In fact, in the days of the Gemara says, Menachos Yisav Sifrei Torah, that had the left leg of the hay would be connected to the top of the roof of the hay. How do you tell the difference between a hay and a ches? The ches, the left leg was fatter, and the hay was a very thin line. The bottom of the hay leg was fatter, and the top line was very thin. And the ches was fatter going up to the top. So it was only a slight difference between a letter hay and a letter ches. And that's why the Yerushalmi says that a lot of times you have Tanoim Hul Darshan on a word that's written chumish with a hay, as if it's written with a ches, and a ches as if it were written with a hay. How does the Gemara have? Kodesh hilulim, kodesh chilulim, to be poided in my sasheni, the netter right before you eat it, chutz Yerushalayim. So Yerushalmi says on that drasha, lo mimnu rabbanon, the Tanoim did not hold themselves back from darshaning a hay as if it were a ches, and a ches as if it were a hay, because they're written practically the same. So the Gemara answers over here, this is like a Remez Gas. This is practically explicit. This is not the Mechlal. This is not just a Remez from inference. This is as if it's Gemat explicit.
But you can't read the Pasuk with that. It doesn't make sense in the Pasuk.
What doesn't make sense?
If you say Chinoki, it doesn't follow in
the Pasuk. Tosis shows how it does follow. It doesn't read well, but it reads, it's two different psukim. It's a run-on pasuk. You should choke to death in the Mayim Amorim if you're guilty. That's not where you pause, though. But Tosis says apparently one could pause like that. So the pasuk could be, you could rearrange the reading of the pasuk in such a way that the sentence begins with the word if you're guilty. So doichek to read it like that. So here,
it's like a limit in here, like a
well, a lot of times Al Tikri is just an asmachta, but here the Gemara says that this is the real meaning. Rav Meir says you have to write the whole first pasuk because this one he does subscribe to. Mechalal hen ato shemei alav. This one usually he doesn't subscribe to it, and here he does. Here he holds you do say mechalal hen ato shemei alav. So this. Taisus quotes a Gemara. Where's the Gemara? Taisus Omer Abtanchum. So they quote a Gemara from Shavuos. The Gemara says that there's a difference between Isura and Mamayna. That sometimes Rameya holds by Mamayna, you don't say Mechlal Hen Atashmei Alav. By Yisura, you do say. Why should there be a difference between Mamayna and Yisura? Very strange. Why should a mayor distinguish? Then Tosfos has it. The last few lines in Tosfos, they come up with a Harifas. That the Gemara says in the first few lines in Gemara Nedarim, what's the difference between a Neder and a Shvuah? The doctor says, I have to go on a diet. I should stop eating the cookies. So I can take a Neder, I can take a Shvuah. What's the difference? So Neder is, I take a Neder, Neder is an Isak Chefze. I say, the cookie should be also Bachila on me. And Shvuah is lesser Isol Nafsho. Shvuah is an Isak Gavra. I say, I take a Shvuah, I will not eat cookies. So one is an Isa Gaber, one is an Isa Chefza. So Taisvis, at the end of the Taisvis, has a Harifas, Mamash a Harifas, that whenever it's an Isa Chefza, I treat it like Mamoina. And by Mamoina, Ramei holds, you don't say Mechlal Hain Atush Me'ala. But Ushvu is an Isa Gaber, so that's treated like Isura. So then Ramei agrees, you do say Mechlal Hain Atush Me'ala. So if you take, the doctor tells me I should stop eating all the Nash. So if I take a neder and I say, okay, doc, I take a neder, healthy food should not be osa b'achilami. And obviously I meant unhealthy food should be osa b'achilami. So since neder is an isa chefza, and I said only mechlal, I didn't say explicitly, so Rameh would say that's not a good neder. And the other Tanoima disagreed that even by chefza, even by a mamayna, you do say mechlal abat hashmeh. But if I say a shvue, okay doc, I take a shvue, I will eat healthy food. I take sure I will eat healthy food. He means to be masking with the doctor. From the context, it's obvious he's taking a shvue, I will not eat unhealthy food, but he never said that. He said, I take a shvue, I will eat healthy food. So there, a mayor would agree to the Rabbanon that you say, you do say mechlal hen, because shvue is an isa gavra, and isa gavra is isura, and an isura, a mayor agrees that mechlal hen.
Only healthy food?
No, Mr. Ahmed, that's explicit already. That he said, I think so. That is explicit. I text you, I will only eat healthy food. So he said it, mamish. He said it. But if he says, okay, doc, I swear I will eat healthy food. But the inference is, based on the context, I will not eat unhealthy food. So Tosfos is machalek, mamish apshetl. That's a Tosfos in the Dorim also has like that. A lot of Balei HaTosfos have like that. Echelik tvei neder mishvur. Very difficult. That's what it says in the Gemara, a difference between Mamayna and Isur. So remember when we learned that Gemara in Shavuos, Soloveitchik gave a different interpretation, the name of his grandfather, Rab Chaim, because he found this very shver, the chilek between Gavra and Chefz, between Shavuos and Neder, Mamayna and Isur, what is it all about? So he said the following. He said, everybody agrees, Mechlal hen atasha me'alav, the mashmois is like that. Atashameya, that is clearly the mashmois. But these three halachas, klola and shvua and tanai, mashmois is not alaf. Let's say the guy's going to go sign language. Go like that. The din is you need diba mefurish. So that's the machlekes Rameh nachacham. Rameh says, maskin, mechlal hen atashameya lab, obis nora mashmois. And nachachamim disagree. Das heis giret, das heis gizokt. That's diba mefurish. He said it. Take Lemoshel, there's such a machlekes hatanoim. You say, in the Chumash there's a din of domim. If I donate money to the Beis Hamikdash, I say, dom of alai, or domai alai. I want to donate to the Beit HaKabayis my value, how much I'm worth to be sold on the slave market. Or something like that. So dom of alai, pay how much you're worth. What if I say, erko alai, erki alai? So it depends whether you're a man or a woman, age. So the Torah has, there's no erech for a pachas bin ben chaydish. If the baby is not even a month old, so there's no erech. Domim there is. If I say dom of alai, I pay how much they would sell such a baby for on the slave market. But if I say erech of alai, so there's no erech for a pachas bin chaydish. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, happens to be Rameh and the Rabbana, happens to be the same two tanaim. What if I say erech of alai on a pachas bin ben chaydish? So Rameh says, if the guy knows Chumash, today people don't know Chumash, they don't know Siddur, they don't know anything. But in the days of the Tanaim, everybody, there were no conservative reform Amoratzim, everybody knew Chumash. So the Gemara says, Odim Yodei Shein Erech L'Pachas B'Ben Chodesh. Everybody knows Chumash. Everybody knows there's no Erech. The Goma V'Yoma, V'Eid Onem Beitzit Dvar V'Lebatola, people don't hakachainik. A person says, in all seriousness, if I accept it by myself, I want to donate money to Hegdash, how much? Erko alai. So Adam Adesh ain't erech lepachas min mechenish v'gama v'yama l'shem damit. Since ain't on the mitzvah d'var v'matalat, people don't talk silly foolishness, so we understand that that's what he meant. And the Chachamim disagree. They say no. Adam mitzvah d'var v'matalat. So the Rishonim say that this the Magen Mishnah says this machlokes hatanaim, whether ain't on the mitzvah d'var v'matalat or not, is only machlokes in yoni haflah by nedar mishvus and nezirus and hekdesh zerech and acharamin. We need levate biswasaim. You have to pronounce it with your lips. If the person gives a krechts or something, there's an ubdur de muchach that it's clear and obvious that he's taking a neder, but he never said it. If you're lacking levate biswasaim, so the neder doesn't get off the ground. The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Goba Belibo, Tzorch Lahoitze Biswafas. A person made up his mind he's going to accept a neder or a shvua. It's not binding, even though it's obvious. Let's say they're making an appeal in the shul. They're making an appeal that's for tzedakah, so that's different. So tzedakah, we machlekes, we paskan dechiv tzedakah is chal b'leiv. But let's say according to those that dechiv tzedakah is not chal b'leiv. The din is that hegdish is chal b'leiv. Kol nadiv leiv oilas heviu. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Whoever had pledged in his heart to bring a carbon oil brought it. So the din is that hegdish is chal b'leiv. In tzedakah is a machlekes, so the din is hegdish. And we paskan both in Yeridei Hilchas tzedakah and a choshe mishpah, we paskin that the chiv tzedakah is chal b'leiv. But let's say if you would hold like the other rishonim, the chiv tzedakah is not chal b'leiv. They're making an appeal, and they're saying how much everybody is donating, and the guy raises his hand. The rabbi said they're making one is making the appeal. How many people pledge $1,000? Guy raised his hand, didn't say a word. He raised his hand. Says the way we paskin tzedakah is chal b'leiv. He obviously. He made an umdun mukhan that accepts a pledge of $1,000. But if you hold belayv is not chal, the other shita, he never said levate bisvasayim, says taka not b'chui, he's not b'chui in such a case. Because the halacha says levate bisvasayim, even if you have an umdun in the mukhach. Even if you have an umdun in the mukhach. So the Magen Mishnah writes in one place, the whole machlekes hatanaim, whether od moitzi dvar v'latol, ein moitzi dvar v'latol, everybody agrees, ein moitzi dvar v'latol. If you're discussing what the text of a contract means, avadi say mechlal avat hashemayin. Avadi say ein ane mitzvah dvar v'atola. You figure out the umdina. What is he driving at? Avada azay. The only time it's a machlokes where the other mitzvah dvar v'atola is by inyani haflaw. We need diba mefurish. You need levate bisvasayim. So that's a machlokes by declaring ein ane mitzvah dvar v'atola. Is that considered diba mefurish? It's a very clear mashmois, but it's not deep in before. So similar to that machlokes, where that happens to be also a man rabban. So similar to that machlokes by Eidan the Mitzvah Dvar V'Atola, is a machlokes over here by Mechlala of Atashemeah. Everybody agrees that Atashemeah. The mashmois is clearly so. It says if you do this, if you have Hazor Shlishi Shvi, you'll be Tohar. If you don't have Hazor Shlishi Shvi, you won't be Tohar. The Gemara quotes many psukim like that. You'll be blessed. It's understood. If you don't listen, you'll be cursed. You'll be punished. The mashmas is clear like that. The machlek is a man. The rabbanon only is by mekalal chaver b'shem. Because if you mekalal b'machshava, you're not like it. And shvua needs levate b'svasayim. And tonight needs diba mefurish. You have to have often erred. You have to say both sides. So the chachamim say, if he said one side, that's equivalent of saying the other way. That's considered diba mefurish. Does heis giret on everything. And Rameh says, mechlal lav, he's maske, matashomeya, and mashmos it is. But you don't say, atashomeya hand, that it's a diba mefurish, ad kedei kach not. That's a Rav Soloveitchik said, the Rav Chaim interpreted the Gemara there in Shavuos, that says, Rameh is maske, by Isura, only by Mamoina he disagrees. What's the difference, Isura and Mamoina? So he said, Rav Chaim thought, such a ritvoh, and the Dorim sounds like that. Rav Chaim thought that it doesn't mean simply Yisura versus Mamoina. Yisura means, in Kol HaTorah Kuli, you say, Mechlal Abato Shemehen, the Mashmos is there. But in these three areas where they're arguing, by Shvuim, by Mekal HaChaver, and by Tanai, here the halacha requires Diba Mefurish. So Rameh holds, Dosen Ish Giret. He still didn't say it, it's only Mashmos. And the Chachamim said that it is Giret. So that's the question over here. Agimori estafani kasha. I Rameh doesn't subscribe to Mechlala Hana Teshmela. What do you mean doesn't subscribe? He's also masking to it. So somehow the Gemara says, no, you need over here Diba Mefurish. You need Diba Mefurish. So Rav Meir should hold that this is not called this, by this klala, this should be not considered divin. For Mar says it's such a remez gas that das heizgeret is hinoki hinoki is considered as if they said it explicitly. So shverish tikal gemara. Then the Gemara has a famous agarata. Rabbi Akiva says that the word ish has aleph yud shin a yud and isha has a hey. So you have yud and the hey is the shem Hashem. So there's the shalom bayis, the shechina shuri benet. If there's no shalom bayis, the shechina is not there. Then it's going to be ish, because you left ish is left with the aleph and the shin. Ish is left the aleph and the shin. So they better be careful the way they act in the marriage. But then the Gemara said there's a difference. Is the husband running around having an affair with other girls, or is the wife running around? So if the wife is running around, she says, "Mam misoyt asur labayla." The husband running around is anoisvurf, but it alpidin doesn't ruin the marriage. Psychologically, it'll ruin the marriage, but alpidin it doesn't ruin the marriage if he's having extramarital affairs. So that's what the Gemara Rava says by isha aleph shin hey. The aleph and the shin are next to each other. When you take the shechina out, so the eish is mamish there. By the aleph yudshin, by the man, if you take the yud out, the letters are not touching each other. So it's not as bad. When the husband is not faithful to his wife, it'll ruin the marriage psychologically, but it's not as bad as if in the case where the wife is not faithful with the husband. Okay. This was an agarata before also the Gemara had. In Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah records that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the name of Moshe, the name of Avram Avinu, to Avraham. And now that his name was changed, so the Gemara says, whoever refers to Avraham Avinu as Avram is over b'yaseh. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, Leikari Hashimcha Avram, Kim Avraham Yeshmecha. You're not allowed to refer to him as Avram. You have to call Avraham. What's the significance of the Shina Hashem of Avraham? Ki Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha. What does that mean? He's the father of all of mankind. So the Rambam quotes this pasuk in Hilchas Bikurim and a few other places, and he quotes the Mishnah Bikurim has a machlokes hatanoim. When a ger is Jewish, a ger has to keep all the mitzvahs that everybody else keeps, but there's a machlokes hatanoim. When the ger brings Bikurim, does it make sense that he should recite Aram Yavirah V'Yer Mitzrayim? At the beginning sounds good. And then he has to say, "Ashenish, the Rebbeinu Shalom." The Rebbeinu Shalom brought us into Eretz Yisrael, the country which He promised to our forefathers. By Vienu Lamakam Hazeh, where does it say? Before. He got to tell Yom Lashem Elokim before Arami Avodali, before you even begin that. The ger is not a biological descendant from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. So the Mishnah says the ger has an obligation to bring Bikurim, but he simply cannot recite Mikri Bikurim. I let him say the psukim that apply and the psukim that don't apply, let him delete. So that's a violation of Kichsava. Either you say the whole parsha, or you don't say it all. You're going to say half a parsha and leave out one of the psukim. That's also a violation of Shalai Kichsov. So the ger is maybe the anikur. Same thing when a ger daven Shmon Esrei. How can he say Lekeinu v'Lekei Aviseinu v'Lekei Avram v'Lekei Yitzchak Yankov? He's not a biological descendant of Avram Yitzchak Yankov. He has to daven Lekeinu v'Lekei Avos Yisrael v'Lekei Avram v'Lekei Yitzchak Yankov. And Chanukah in Purim, when you say Shosan Nismal Aviseinu, he's not a descendant, a biological descendant of the forefathers who experienced the Nisim and the Flores. So you shouldn't say Shosan Nismal Aviseinu. He doesn't say that, bro. So and Rabbi Yudah disagrees with the Mishnah. He says, since Avram Avinu's name was changed to Abraham, Av Hamon Goyim, means Avram Avinu is the father for all the Gerim, not the father of all of mankind. He's the founding father of the Jewish religion. The pasuk only says about Abraham, Ve'zokt about Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's what the Netziv in his commentary on the Chumash has a footnote. So he says, no, some mashmos. He quotes a Ritvon, but Rebasa, somehow there's a mashmos that it's all three. Even though the pasuk only says Avraham, Avamagam Avraham, it applies to Yitzchak and Yankiv as well. So the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yudah. The Tosfos and Baba Basra has two opinions. Machlokes Dari and Rabbi Natam and Daf Peyalev, whether you should pasken like the Mishnah and pasken like Rabbi Yudah. And Shulchan Aruch, they pasken like Rabbi Yudah. So what does it mean? The Gemara says, Alosh, in the end of the first parak in Brachos, Al Nikru Ovois Elo Shlosha. we only refer to the three founding fathers of the Jewish religion, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNeviim, he was greater than all the prophets who preceded him, he was greater than all the prophets who come afterward. Nonetheless, he's not one of the founding fathers of the Jewish religion. Only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Gemara sometimes has a lashon. Rishonim have a lashon. They refer to tzaddikim and tanoim as avos ha'olam. So they ask Akasha, how can you refer to them as avos ha'olam? It says in Gemara, "Indi kura avos elosh loisha." So the answer, no, avos ha'olam. They're big scientists and big geniuses. Are avos ha'olam. But when you're talking about the founding fathers of the Jewish religion, there is such a concept. So the founding fathers are only three. The Nikra Avos HaShloisha doesn't go on Avos HaOlam, the Avos of the Jewish religion. So what is that all about? Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater Navi. Why shouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu be considered one of the Avos of the Jewish religion? So apparently the Chazal understood the greater the Navi is, so the greater insight he's going to have to understand the Ikari HaEmunah. So Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov didn't understand the full depth of the Ikari HaEmunah. But apparently all of the Ikarim, when it's gala to the three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to a certain extent, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given new ideas that weren't told to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He understood them deeper than the others did. But he wasn't revealed. It wasn't revealed to him new Ikarim and Amun. All the Ikarim and Amun were discovered by the founding fathers. So that's why the Gemara says the Klal. And Nikarovus al-Shlosh. It's an interesting idea that our religion has founding fathers. And we assume that all Ikar Emunah went is gala to them. And it's halacha. You're not allowed to give anybody else, even a great tzaddik, even a great Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, who exceeded the Kerach HaNevuah of the others, not allowed to refer to him as one of the others. A new concept in halacha.
Yeah. They would be to replace all the others.
If they'd be wiped out. The Baruch Hu is going to wipe out the Klal Yisrael, then I'll have to start all over.
I'm going to have to have footnotes.